Hey everyone, a quick note before we get started with this week's episode. I just wanted to mention how important it is that you guys subscribe to the podcast and leave a review if you like what you're hearing. It's really difficult to build audiences, but there have been people tuning in each week, and if you guys all leave reviews, it'll help us grow and ultimately be able to make better content for you around this stuff. So thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy the episode.
A place like that should not be polluted, and it should just be overrun by, you know, by plastic and trash. So
yeah.
I think that that's really what has made surfers as natural environmentalists and as the first people promoting the anti-plastic thing, because it affects us firsthand. And you know, you're paddling along, you come up with a bag in your hand. That's like a really gross and bothering experience when you're supposed to be in nature.
From ALDA, this is the Protect Your Wild podcast, a show about founders, athletes, and influencers, and how their passion for the environment led to their actions and career paths today. I'm Colin Campbell, and this week I'm having a chat with Kyle Parsons, the founder of Endosole. Their mission is to be the most environmentally responsible footwear company in the world, and they do so by turning recycled tires and other sustainable materials into great shoes and flip-flops, and they actually do it at a really affordable price. If you want to learn more about their brand, be sure to check out our blog post on them at aldalifestyle.com. But otherwise, this was another banger of an interview, and I hope you guys enjoy.
Hey, Colin, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Super excited. Yeah, thank you for your time, man. I really appreciate it. And obviously your mission as well. Like a lot of the other founders I've had on, you found a problem in the world and, you know, you're actively taking steps and putting your time into solving it.
Yeah, thanks. You know, every day is an adventure, and we've been around for a while now, and it's been a wild roller coaster ride and with twists and turns and ups and downs. But honestly, every day that we get to keep on doing what we're doing and living this lifestyle and, you know, promoting our brand is a good day and exactly where we want to be. So
absolutely. Yeah. So tell us, I guess, to kick it off a little bit about that story of, you know, where the idea came from and your journey up to this point.
Yeah. Well, the concept for Endosole, hit on a surf trip to Bali way back in 2004, where, I was just on this standard family vacation in Bali, and it was a place I always wanted to visit. And, when I got there, I was totally captivated by everything that was happening there. Like, it's freaking beautiful. The beaches, surf, the people, the culture, the food, it's all right there and really positive. And it's no surprise as to why people will visit Bali and then drop everything they're doing, move home or go home and sell everything they have and pack their bags and show up with a backpack and try to like make it work there and try to live this, you know, this Zen and wanderlust life.
Right.
So I totally got that. But for me, it was a different impact. I had a pair of sandals that broke on me in the middle of the sidewalk, and I needed a new pair. I found a pair in a boutique as I was barefoot walking around. Got a new pair of sandals that had a tire on the sole, and I'd never seen that before, and I thought it was kind of neat. But meanwhile, I took note of a major pollution problem around Bali. I couldn't really understand why there was so much trash on the beach and all over the place. I also noticed that the Balinese were really crafty people. Like, they were making all this incredible art out of nothing, you know, and a lot of it was just, you know, very resourceful and upcycled products that they made out of art. And it was just, they had a knack for it. Going a step further, I started doing a little bit of research on tire pollution and found that it was a major issue, that there's billions of tires that end up in the landfill every year. Meanwhile, I had this pair of flops, and they were really durable and they weren't that comfortable, but I thought that, you know, there could be a product there if they were made comfortable and mm-hmm. made more fashionable. So
right.
that was when the idea was born. I went home, you know, kind of harmlessly, and then just thought about Bali and thought about going back and making these sandals for 2 years until I got up the balls to get back on a plane and go back there. And then I started wholesaling them, and the whole thing just kind of started as suitcases rolling through the airport, coming home with sandals, giving them out to my friends, and then going back to Bali and making them better and better. And it was kind of like a really fun hobby that I was passionate about at the beginning, as a side hustle from my career as a retail sales rep.
Yeah.
And then I finally got the balls to quit my job and go for it full force. And here we are years later. And, like I said, it's been a crazy ride, but,
yeah, it looks like
it's starting to progress.
It looks like you're having a blast. Like all the pictures where you're over there, it looks like you're just going there to party. Like everybody has huge smiles on. They're jumping. Like I'm on your story page right now with the Indo crew. That picture of everybody jumping around, waving the sandals and stuff. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, Bali is a really special place. The energy level is through the roof. It's kind of like, we call it adult summer camp. Or it's almost like you have an elated feeling like you get at Burning Man. It is kind of a huge party. There's a lot of young, fashionable people ending up there.
I hear there's a lot of Australians that visit now.
Yeah, they're a crazy breed of people. They can party with the best of them.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. That seems, so you've seemingly been really like, developing like a relationship with the people that are actually making the shoes, which I think is something pretty special that, you know, even in the cases where there are products and brands that, you know, use good factories and stuff, they still don't necessarily have like a very personal, you know, relationship with the people. So I'm just wondering kind of like how were you able to develop that? Was that something important to you when you were, you know, starting this venture?
Yeah. Totally. I mean, everything just really took shape as we went. It started as simple as we want to save tires and make them into soles of sandals and let's do that. And then, you know, once we established a relationship with the factory, we're like, wow, these people are really special. Like it would be really cool to be able to promote them and who they are and
be
a bit more transparent about our processes and who's behind the scenes, because especially at the time when we first launched.
We had the audio cut out for a minute there. I'll be able to edit together, but let's see if we can give Skype a second to catch up here.
Yeah, this is why it sucks that I'm on my phone because people are calling me.
Oh, true.
But I can go back. I remember where.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like we're good now.
Yeah. Anyways, once we, you know, got into the manufacturing and realized that the people and the craftsmen, craftswomen, really special people, and they were a story of their own. We decided that it would be really cool to be able to promote them and their talents and who they are and their story. It was really fascinating. And they're so skilled, they're natural artists. And at the time there weren't any other brands really being transparent about their manufacturing process or going behind the scenes and talking about what they do.
Yeah, definitely not to that extent, for sure. Yeah.
No way. And in my earlier 20s, I worked for a large shoe company and nobody talked about the factories. Nobody had really been over there. It was just something you don't really talk about. And I always felt that was odd. And, you know, our idea was that in the future that people should be more connected to the products that they're buying. That it should go beneath the skin layer and people should be able to like really be in touch with the brand and feel a part of it. And, you know, fortunately for us over the times, there's been bigger brands with deep pockets and done a great job advertising that, like, you know, Tom's obviously, for example. Sure. And then when we first started talking, you mentioned Allbirds and, you know, they've really taken off. So it's good to have these other brands around us that are promoting, you know, a story to go with their product as well. So we have our own story. It's a bit different niche, but, you know, all in all, it's, you know, for the greater good of a healthier consumer market and more quality products made by good people.
Right. Yeah. The rising tide brings up all boats. Right. And that, that seems to be what's happening now that you're in the middle of. Right. So that's fantastic news for you guys, I think. And, you know, hopefully watch you guys explode over the next couple of years. So you started off in a surfing trip to Bali, right? And to me, one of the big things that connected me with nature is just, you know, I love doing stuff outdoors, pretty simply. So I was just wondering how your kind of background in surfing and growing up around that maybe helped connect you with the environment and maybe made a bit of a care for the earth in you, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'll clarify at the beginning. I mean, I'm a surfer. I'm not by any means a good surfer. I just, I had a background in snowboarding where I got really good at snowboarding, and then that just sort of parlayed into surfing.
Right, right.
But I'm like a fish out of water when I'm in the water. I'm just like, I'm not a natural water person, but being out there and just getting in the lineup and being amongst the crowd and the people is just very calming and feels super good. And obviously on Bali, it's gorgeous. And you also realize every time a plastic bag or a candy wrapper or a water bottle floats by you, that a place like that should not be polluted. And it shouldn't just be overrun by, you know, by plastic and trash. So
yeah.
I think that that's really what has made surfers as natural environmentalists and as the first people promoting the anti-plastic thing, because it affects us firsthand. And, you know, you're paddling along and come up with a bag in your hand. That's like a really gross and bothering experience when you're supposed to be in nature.
Yeah.
But I've also found that surfing really can relate to all areas of life. It's like, you know, when a big wave comes, it's like, are you going to go for it? Or you're not going to go for it. And you know, it's like,
you gotta make a choice in the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta make a choice in the moment. Sometimes you gotta live impulsively. And, you know, just pull in. And that's what entrepreneurism is about. And it's about making quick decisions. It's not always comfortable and you might get pounded. But you can only hope that
driven right to the bottom of the ocean floor on occasion.
Yeah. And that's happening daily. You know, it's like you're taking one off the head on a regular basis, and then there's good times too.
You know? Yeah, so you occasionally get lifted up. You get some confirmation from the outside world that you're doing the right thing here, and you're like, all right, I can keep going.
Yeah. For sure.
Are there any stories or particular kind of things that have happened in the last several years doing IndoSol that you've had to overcome or that have been particularly challenging?
Oh man, I mean, I don't know where to start. The whole thing has been a major challenge, and you know, like you live and you learn, and hindsight's 20/20, and you always have that. It's just like we've learned a lot as to how to develop a product and how hard it is, you know, and any product you use in everyday life, it's like somebody had to develop that, and just making stuff is really hard, and never mind trying to take a variable piece of trash and make that into the sole of your shoe, and then getting that done, and then figuring out how to market it and tell a story that's compelling and that people will grab onto. So I think that those things have been really the hardest part, and just having them all flow together and in harmony.
It's a lot to balance for sure.
Totally. And at the beginning, I always tell people, I just like way underestimated how much money is needed, you know, like for the larger companies, they're going out getting this VC funding and they're, you know, raising $5, $10, $20 million at once. And then they're going to the factory and making shoes. Like we did things ass backwards and like, you know, raised just a tiny bit of money and then duct taped it together for years. But the way our story goes too, if we hadn't done it that way, we probably would have blown all the money because we would have made bad product, and it definitely wouldn't have caught on, because making tire-soled footwear at the beginning was so hard because the product was falling apart. It wasn't always that comfortable, but we were only making 500 or 1,000 pair at a time. So it wasn't putting us out of business.
Yeah. And you can upgrade like with each kind of evolution or each order of it.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And yeah, after every order that came out of the factory, like, man, they were that much better every single time. And here we are 8 years deep, and we now, after 8 years, can confidently say, all right, we figured this damn thing out. Like, yeah. We figured the formula, and now we can mass produce them.
Yeah.
And it took us changing things. You know, we had motorbike tires at the beginning, and those were really sexy and cool because talking about motorbikes is fun.
Cool. Yeah, exactly.
And then we're like, oh, but they just like don't work as a shoe. Unless we grind them down. Like, no, I don't want to grind them down. I don't want to do it. That'll take the soul out of the soul.
Right.
So cool
right.
to have the tread on the bottom or the writing. And then we went to bus and truck tires and using the sidewalls, and you could read Bridgestone or Dunlop or Goodyear on the bottom. And that was rad. But that posed its own problems, and it's a really laborious process, and we can only make like 2,000 pair a month max, and just wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are in year 8, and we still have some of our original models with a sidewall tire. You can read the tire on the bottom, but we gave in and started grinding down the tires into a powder and making it into a mold, which ultimately just makes a way more consistent product and makes a greater impact over time because we can sell way more shoes. Like, now we can produce thousands a day
and thus take more tires, obviously, out of the environment. Right.
Yeah. Let me just crank those puppies out.
Yeah.
And have, you know, hit the streets. So.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think there's a lot of value to bootstrapping a way through it. You know, the lessons that you could learn are irreplaceable. You know, how I guess when you have those deep pockets, like you're saying, you think differently. Like, it just would set you in a different mindset to where it's like, well, you know, money can solve this problem and that problem or whatever. And you can kind of work your way or find your path like that way. And it's not necessarily the worst thing. It's just different, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody's
writing their own book every day as they go.
Right. 100%. So what kind of personal values, I guess, did you grow up with that have carried you into this? And are there any people in your life particularly that you think had a big impact or influence on you?
Well, for my story, I found that it was a hybrid, that Indosol was a hybrid of multiple experiences dating backwards in my life. Like, when I was 20 years old, I worked at a recycling facility, basically a dump.
Pretty
in Nantucket, Massachusetts. Yeah, it was sweet. It was a summer job, and it was pretty nasty. I got got paid $12 an hour, and I got free housing on Nantucket.
And you get a free joke too. Anybody asks where you were, you go, the place is a dump. And get to laugh. Like,
yeah, I mean, hey, ladies, like, you want to date a dump worker or what? I got
right.
I got all the plastic bottles you could ever want. So I did that one summer. And then the following summer, ironically, I worked in a surf shop. I was like, okay, the dump thing was interesting. I learned about recyclables, but I want to do something cool. So I worked in a surf shop, and I managed the reef sandal section.
Okay.
And I was just like, took note of it. I was like, man, these reefs are just flying out the door, and this is pretty fun. I just kind of like enjoyed, you know, sizing people up with flip flops and selling them.
Yeah.
And then that
ties in pretty well.
Yeah, that later parlayed into the love for snowboarding, and I moved out to Lake Tahoe, and I ended up being a sales rep and selling snowboard gear and other retail goods. And then, you know, the trip to Bali happened, and then all those things came together. So I had retail experience, I had recycling experience, and just generally creating the awareness. I would always thank my parents for giving me a good education and helping me go to school and college. But I would also really thank my business partners and everyone that works for Indosol for sharing sharing the vision, and right. all of us bring something different to the table. So for example, my business partner, Kai, grew up in Indonesia, and he was like, you know, this white redheaded dude who grew up in Jakarta, Indonesia, and could speak the language, but he's kind of like undercover because he's white and
right. he, you know, sponsored by a sunscreen brand.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, he's the dude. He's the dude who has to wear a bucket hat surfing because.
Right. That's great.
And then my other business partner, Chris, who I actually grew up with. So we came from the same roots in New Hampshire, oddly enough. But we took different courses into our professional career, and he went to the fashion direction. So now he worked for huge fashion brands and really took note of how, you know, products are put together and mm-hmm. packaged and delivered, and anything from the story being told to just the cool image, which neither Kai and I had as much experience in. Or had the experience of working for a big company with
refined
systems.
Processes, yeah.
Refined process, yeah. And then, you know, and then that's trickled down right to our, you know, the people that work in our flagship retail shop in Bali, and you know, our in-house guy in San Francisco, Killian, and just like everybody's just like down for this mission. And again, like more like the greater good of making a difference in the consumer goods market all overall, like saving yeah. tires along the way, slinging some flip-flops, and, you know, being about the transparent processes and what B Corp certified companies represent.
Right. Yeah. That's something else I wanted to talk about a little bit is, being a part of that kind of group of B Corp companies, like was it difficult to make that happen for you guys, and B, kind of what advantages have you seen coming from being able to like advertise that and being a part of this kind of like, you know, group that's you know, at the top of, you know, American companies doing things the right way these days?
I think there's a number of different ways to answer that. Like for us in Indosol, we looked at what the perceived you know, value of what sustainable products are, or what you consider like an environmentally conscious product, and we couldn't really understand like why everything was so overpriced,
right.
why like only the elite can play in environmentalism. It's like, you know, it's like, hey, I'm an environmentalist, but I can't afford to drive a Tesla.
Right.
I can't afford an electric car, so I'm stuck driving this, you know, standard gas truck or car, but mm-hmm. you know, I'm an environmentalist. Like, man, this sucks. Like, I want to be able to like
have the cool stuff. So, yeah,
you want to be able to have the cool stuff, but you also want to just like be able to make an individual impact without being rich, you know. So it's like if you're gonna buy a pair of sandals that are environmentally conscious and they're $85, but the same old you know, sandals, if you're gonna go buy another brand and they're $35, like it's like, what are you gonna choose? Like, if you know,
yeah.
based on what you can afford. So with our new line, we wanted to you know, redevelop the, I guess, just the mentality of environmental conscious goods, and we wanted to, you know, just in a positive way disrupt the market a little bit. So we came up with this $35 sandal, which we call the most economical flip-flop in the world, with the essentials
pun included.
Yeah, and there it is. It is what it says, and that's making a difference for us. And again, we just like, yeah, want to create that awareness and get people thinking.
Right. Yeah, the accessibility of it is great, because that green premium, I think, has been one of the biggest killers of, you know, conscious consumerism, like taking off to that next level. Another brand, I guess, that I know, this Green Goo, that does, you know, natural and sustainable kind of skincare products and things like that, right? They made the choice to put their stuff into Walmarts and to be able to price it as such, so that it can be more accessible, even though it's kind of in conflict with, you know, what you'd expect from an all natural, like very high quality, you know, product like that. So I love these different approaches that people are finding to to really making it accessible to the masses.
Yeah, right. That's Green Goo is a perfect example. It's like these are standard, you know, day to day things that you use, you know, and for them, I hope they're getting acquisition offers from these huge companies that never set up their business to be, you know, sustainable or environmentally friendly in any way. And they may feel now that they can't retract. So, you know, they're better off like trying to acquiring
a new. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's
one, a great point. One of these guys that did take the time to set it up in the proper way and make a difference. And, you know, and that's just kind of our idea too, is like, you know, the light bulb may come off through the purchase of a pair of flip-flops that have a recycled tire in the sole, but then you're going to be aware when it comes to buying, like, you know, Band-Aids or something one day you're at the store, or if you're buying diapers or, you know, TP or like whatever it may be, try to, you know, encompass your consumer habits in all areas.
Yeah. Kind of rewires your brain a little bit. I've noticed it's like gotten, for me at least, being like, you know, so deep into all this stuff, it's gotten so hard for me to buy anything because I'm like doing all this research and like, you know, looking left, right, up and down everywhere I can for the best stuff. And then I guess what my go-to has been lately is like this jacket, for example, just got from the Boulder Sports Recycler here in town. Always like I get stalled out like looking for you know, technical gears where I have a lot of the issues, right? Things for climbing or, you know, things like that. Who do I support? But going used has kind of been my big one lately. But how has kind of your journey with Indosol like impacted you as a person? You know, I'm sure there's lots of like growth and things you kind of learn about yourself over 8 years in this kind of very unique journey that you've had.
Yeah. I'd say lots of realizations. I think that like one of the main ones was that I was no matter what the situation, I was committed to doing this and living the lifestyle that I wanted to live and really pushing forward and making Indosol my life and my lifestyle. And it totally runs it. You know, it's like, it owns me to every degree, but at the same time, I would want it no other way. And, you know, it's like we could have hit it big a little bit sooner or could have made some better choices financially, but it's I think it's just like fully encompassed, you know, me and who I am, and made me more persistent in just chasing that goal. But also just like as we go and the brand develops, having more realizations about who we are and what we talk about. And that evolves from year to year. And, you know, with a new product that we put out, it has us speaking differently about the brand and what our overall missions are, you know, like this most economical flip-flop in the world. And, you know, it's just trying to make a difference and trying to be that disruptive sandal brand in a store like REI offering a fully vegan sandal at $35 when nobody else is.
Right.
And, you know, next year there might be 5 brands offering that same product. And in a way we hope there are, you know,
right.
We're going to work on the next thing, but we're proving our point and now everybody's steering down that direction.
Yeah. It's like this greater good thing. And a lot of big brands are definitely taking notice, I think, of these startups like yourself that are just like, you know, made a decision that an integral part of their company is going to be like this do good aspect, right? Not only do good, like do better, like constantly doing better, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's almost like same thing with just individuals. You figure out who you are over time and kind of constantly redefine yourself in a lot of ways, but that like core that set you apart is still there. Yeah, it's very cool. So to kind of break up these episodes, I like to, you know, play a little game, so to speak. So I created a series of would you rather questions around kind of like environmentally things, right? So for would you rather, anybody who hasn't played that game amongst their friends or whatever and gotten super weird with it, basically, you lay out two scenarios and try to make put somebody in a difficult position to make a difficult decision between usually two bad scenarios, right? So, yeah, so I got a couple rounds of that.
Okay.
All right. So the first one I got here is kind of a bigger picture thing. If you had to choose, would you rather see the Earth's average temperature raise by 1 degree Celsius tomorrow, like overnight, or the Pacific garbage patch triple in size overnight? So I'm going to make you advocate for a terrible thing either way. So.
Yeah, it's screwed either way, you're telling me.
Yeah.
It's either sunblock sales are going through the roof, or like our days of swimming in the ocean are over. Yeah. Yeah, I guess I'd have to vote for the one degree Celsius increase. And
nice.
I just hope for the best.
True.
You know, don't take my ocean away.
Yeah, I like it.
Not yet.
Maybe that'd make some certain government people get their acts together and be like, oh shit, maybe this is a real problem that we should take seriously, like yesterday, you know? Yeah. Unfortunately, we're like so reactionary that it might take, you know, not that that's going to happen, but you know, something crazy to really kick people into gear.
For sure. And yeah, there might have to be a catastrophic event to have people realize what's really happening. Otherwise, it's just kind of this slow, slow deterioration, right? It's like the slow death.
Yeah. Death by 1,000 paper cuts kind of thing. Right. Sweet. So here's the second one we got. And this is more of a personal lifestyle choice, right? So the first scenario, you'd have to reduce your daily water use to just 20 gallons per day. Which sounds like a lot, but the average American uses about 80 gallons a day on average. And you'd have to do that for 5 years. So, you know, not your whole life, not permanent. You'd be able to switch back to normal eventually, but still would be a little tough to do. And the next one is you wouldn't be able to use any fossil fueled transportation for a year. So 1 year versus 5 years, fossil fuels versus water.
Yeah, well, I mean, that one's easy. I mean, look at me. I don't shower anyways. I'm a mess.
There you go. If only I had known that, I would have made it harder. Damn it. Yeah,
as long as I can drink it, I'm guess I'm cool.
Nice.
Yeah, my lifestyle, you know, like I pointed out earlier, I was like, I'd love to be driving the Tesla, a Tesla van around to deliver all the Endosols to true. All the retail accounts, but we're not quite there yet. So I drive a Ford Transit Connect. Mm-hmm. And it's a 4 liter. It's a little 4 liter engine. The thing sips gas. It's very economical.
Yeah.
But you know, we got to be on the road quite a bit in order, you know, to tell our story and to get the product in the stores.
Makes
That's
sense.
The sad realities.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense though. Yeah. But a lot of people, especially here, just don't realize how much water we do use. Like, that's one of the things that, at least when I started kind of first diving into this stuff in like high school, that really blew me away was, like specifically thinking about those water numbers. When you add up your laundry, when you add up your showers, flushing toilets every time. I actually had a buddy who started exclusively peeing outside as a means. he's arguing me. He's like, dude, is the biggest waste of water is peeing in a toilet, man. I'll just go in the backyard. It's not a big deal.
I totally agree with him. That's a smart man. That's a pioneer right there.
Yeah, exactly. He's making the sacrifices that America needs. They may not want it, but they need it.
Totally. One with nature. Whip it out.
Yeah, yeah. It takes a few drinks for me personally before I start peeing in backyards, but out of respect for the neighbors, I think is what it mostly is. Sweet. So, the next one we got here, and the last one, number three, first scenario, you'd only be able to eat food sourced within a 50-mile radius of just wherever you're at the time. So no ketchup, you know, no mustard, no condiments, no commercial condiments like that. Takes a lot of the flavor out, but or not that ketchup's flavor, but or as far as liquids go, you could only drink water. No beers, sodas, wines, any of that good stuff.
Oh man. Yeah, that's a tough one. I could certainly survive without the ketchup. I can't survive without beer.
There you go. I'm on board with that. I think I'm right up that alley. Yeah. I figure too, eating local would probably make you eat a bit healthier too, you know. You start
absolutely. Support the local.
Yeah, local produce, local. The thing that I always find hard to find is like local meats, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's something you've looked into, or if you're vegetarian or whatever, but it seems so much harder to really find, like, you know, good sourced meat. Try to limit 100%. It, of course, but you know.
Yeah, it's delicious, and you know, I personally believe that even though, you know. I mean, first of all, I'm not vegan. I do eat meat, even though I promote a vegan footwear brand. I personally have found that for me, it's healthier. Like, my body feels right. better when I have meat, at least on an occasional basis.
Yeah. Yeah. So. 100%. I think it's pretty natural for our species. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just all about people do your research, you know, try to figure out where that's coming from. That makes a big impact on the, not only like the ethical side, but like the footprint of your diet, you know?
Yep.
Sweet. So that pretty much wraps it up. Good to know that you are cool with 1 degree Celsius and, you know, the earth getting warmer, you know? Learn something new. No, of course not. But to start kind of wrapping it up, there's like a few questions that we like to run by everybody and always get, you know, wide variety of answers on, if that's cool. So, the first one I got for you is how do you think we should kind of go about explaining like the concepts of sustainability to, you know, the next generation, to like, to a toddler of today?
Yeah, that's a good one. We've witnessed, is that kind of like the breaking point of it all is through education and just, you know, having this next generation being able to start with it as their values, not getting till, you know, into their 20s and then having to learn this new thing and readapt their lifestyle. So I think that this next generation is going to be a lot easier, and they're just going to, you know, they're already born with it in their day of life and watching what mom and dad do. And that's how everybody learns in the first place. So, I think that it's just inherently going to be there.
Like a lead by example kind of thing.
Yeah. It's a lead by example, and we have a great head start. But again, it's just like, it's shifting the paradigm as far as the way we all live, and starts with the products that we use. And that's why, you know, brands like Indosol exist, and, you know, all the others that are doing what we do. And it's just going to be a slow and steady takeover where, you know, we're going to make things in a better way, or, you know, or spread the message of perhaps using less water, you know, eating locally,
being
outside, and you know, hopefully cell phones suddenly become less cool in the near future, so people go back to roots and go back to getting outside and playing. Right.
That's a big problem that we haven't covered much yet, that I'm glad you brought up, is that the world of living a life through a cell phone, man. Like, how many of the experiences that you've had with Indosol, you know, would have really been possible or impactful if you're kind of just spending your time on your phone or living through other people's lives, you know, scrolling through Instagram endlessly, like, oh man, Bali looks cool, but you never go there, right?
It's such a double-edged sword, because although we are promoting a more natural life and to protect our nature and all of that, it's just we find ourselves on the phone so much, you know, trying to spread the information about what we're doing or simply trying to get an order from a retailer. But at the end of the day, it's just like we all personally need to make time for it and put the phone away for, you know, a couple hours and get into nature. And that's what will keep us happy and healthy and, you know, and contribute to what we're all talking about.
Right.
Just, you know, consciousness.
Yeah. Ironically enough, it's like trying to do this kind of media company style thing is like directly against my natural kind of instinct. Like when I go out climbing, I don't have like any good climbing photos for my Tinder or whatever, right? Just because my phone's in my pocket, man. I'm just like turning around looking at the views. I don't really, you know, it's less about those photos, but
totally. Yeah, I'm with you there. When I'm out surfing and I see people with their GoPro on, like it's cool. I think it's cool to bring it out every now and again, but not every damn day. And like, you know, getting your glory shot, that's like not right. You know, it's like not why you're
yeah, why it's you're like take there. It in. Yeah, just take it in, just enjoy it. Make I guess people like make work for themselves later. You got to go through like hours of footage, just like, oh, where was that totally. One wave I got or whatever.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. You're adding more stress and more phone time to your day. Like, did I get the shot or did I not get the shot? Like,
yeah,
who cares?
Right. Yeah, hopefully more people will listen to that message, ironically enough, through their phones, through this podcast, and they'll like pause it, put it down, and maybe go do something fun. sweet. So what are some things in your own life that, you know, you'd like to do, I guess, to be, you know, maybe more sustainable? A lot of people, I think, set an impossible standard, these like zero waste videos that go viral. It's like, that's just not realistic for a lot of your average people just kind of stepping into sustainability. So,
yeah, for sure. It's just like with our whole crew, we try hard not to be too preachy about it, because right. At the end of the day, we're all just normal people. I'm a normal dude who's, you know, consuming the same as everyone else is. I'm trying to carry around my water bottle or my, you know, if I go to like In-N-Out Burger or something, I'm walking in with my own cup and I'm filling that up, mm-hmm. you know, with ice and lemonade or whatever, not just taking that extra cup. I'm just doing the little things. And it's not like, you know, we're trying to contribute on a smaller thing towards like a bigger cause. But, you know, our niche with IndoSoul is based around consumer goods and products. You know, out of the landfill, and we're psyched for them, and I think that if everybody just has their niche and drives that home, then they're delivering that one message. You know, nobody's expected to live this life of 100% purity in this right. day and age. Just simply do what we can.
Yeah, and look for I think keeping an eye out for brands like IndoSoul, and that's a big thing. Don't just, you know, necessarily go the easiest route of rolling into Walmart being like, oh, I need a pair of flip-flops, grab whatever's on the rack, when there's, in this case, a very affordable and very like empowering alternative. Like, you're supporting a group of people that are producing these, telling their stories. And yeah, I really, really hope that's like the main thing we want to do, is help people make that connection of the faces, the stories behind brands that are doing these awesome things in the world.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, I guess what are kind of the things going on with IndoSoul or things to promote, or what do you want the world to know about what you got going on right now?
Yeah. Thanks. You know, I mean, again, every day that we, you know, we continue to do what we do and spread the message is humbling and a lot of fun for us. You know, of course we want people to wear our products and to buy our products, but you mm-hmm. know, even more so, just be, you know, impacted by by it. So like our, you know, our goal is just to continue the growth and the retail outlets and to, you know, to work with some major players at the retail level, which continues to get our brand and the message out there. And, you know, so this year we started with REI and their outdoor stores, and that's been super exciting. You know, and the next move for us is setting up posts in other countries. So we created an office in Australia. We have Indosol Australia on now. Then this coming year will be Japan. So we'll have Indosol Japan, and then be Europe. And we recently opened one in Singapore as well. So the goal is for there to be like these Indosol pods, basically, and representative in different countries. So the message is being spread there, and the product is being put out, and it's you know, it's offering a, you know, a more environmentally conscious choice to every store in the world's footwear collection.
Yeah,
we don't see ourselves ever being big like a Nike, but you know, but just continuing on our course and preventing tires from going to landfill and getting as many shoes on people as we can.
Yeah, keeping your head down, your eyes forward. And do you find, just out of curiosity, are like flip-flops a pretty, like, I guess I feel like Australians probably mess with flip-flops a lot, but when you said Japan, I was like, do Japanese people wear flip-flops? I don't know if that's a weird question, but
yeah, they do. They traditionally wore these really weird, you know, wooden flip flops, and they created that style. And apparently, they're good for your posture, and they're healthy to wear for your body. But as anywhere, surf culture and you know, and fashion is always evolving.
Yeah,
and people are just into having new things and with stories. So, yeah, the more we as a brand tell stories and engage people, we really have a shot to sell anywhere in the world.
Right, make a global impact.
And you know, we have an environmental impact that's based out of Indonesia, but the idea is to get people thinking wherever they are in the world. And what we're doing is also templatable to be done in other countries.
Yeah. So, and hopefully that'll help you all scale. Yeah. As you scale and bring it out there. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Everything about it. Awesome. Well, I guess that pretty much wraps it up here. So, make sure you guys like check out Indosol's website. That's Indo is I-N-D-O, Sol, S-O-L-E. As you would guess, I imagine. And their Instagram and everything like that, and show them some love. They're people doing things the right way, as you just heard from the man himself, Kyle, who's their creator. So thanks again, Kyle.
Yeah, thank you, Colin. Appreciate everybody listening, and have a great day.
Absolutely. Thanks again, everybody, for listening to yet another episode. We really appreciate you guys for the support you've shown. Again, any review that you leave helps tremendously, as we want to grow our audience and keep getting you better guests. If you want to learn more about what we do, go to outthelifestyle.com. And otherwise, we will catch you next week.